Hey folks, Jared here. One note on the podcast feed, we're still working through the issue of having two existing Sea Control feeds out there. So the legacy feed is labeled Sea Control-SimSec. It's run through something called FeedBurner. We have no control over what's populated in that feed. The current feed is labeled simply Sea Control, and it includes in the description SimSec's flagship podcast. So I'd encourage you to follow the current Sea Control feed. If you follow the legacy feed, you may have already noticed episodes 233, 234, and 235 haven't populated in that feed. Go back and give those a listen. As you transition over, I'd encourage you to rate and review the new feed as well. So this week we're talking and singing sea shanties. If your immediate concern is that I'll be singing, you needn't trouble yourself. We brought in actual professionals, Craig Edwards and John Bromley. We also have Promise and Frank Uzuwolu, who you would likely recognize from Shanty Talks. We'll be talking with them about how they've come to discover and appreciate the medium of the sea shanty. And one more note for Jenny Bromley. Your dad mentioned your voice and how lovely it was. And unfortunately, as we're going through the editing process, which is to say that I had an issue with the sound just at the moment where he was complimenting you. And he was emphatic that we include the note on your voice, how much he likes it, how wonderful it is. Since a comment on your brother's voice did make it in. But this episode was produced and edited by Jonathan Selling, who cleaned up multiple demanding pieces of audio here to put this together. Project Trident is still ongoing. Our current topic, maritime infrastructure and trade, is having a bit of a moment with all the discussions surrounding Ever Given and the Suez Canal. So if you're interested in contributing, check out our website, simsec.org. You can see all the details for submission as well as the deadline there. Finally, I want to take the opportunity to recommend our partners in the SimSec Podcast Network, the Bilge Pumps. You can find Alex, Jamie, Drock, and a pile of Iron Brew bottles wherever you download your podcasts. On that note, I'll turn it over to Kimber's men.
You're listening to Sea Control, hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security.
Aloha, shipmates, and welcome back aboard Sea Control. We have a packed house today because we have a hot topic, sea shanties. Joining me on the podcast today are Craig Edwards, a musical historian, John Bromley, the booming baritone that you just heard at the beginning of every Sea Control episode singing Bully in the Alley. And then finally, we have the brothers Uzuwolu, Promise and Franklin, who are probably best known as some of the faces of the shanty talk movement after the video of them singing the sea shanty Wellerman went viral. So first, let me say welcome to everyone and thank you for joining us. We're going to go around the metaphorical room here and learn a little bit more about each of you. And Craig, I'd like to start with you. So would you mind sharing a bit about your background with the listeners?
Sure. I started playing music when I was about 9 years old and growing up in Virginia, and went on to get a BA in ethnomusicology at Wesleyan University in Connecticut. And at the end of that, my undergraduate experience, I was playing in a band with some people who were still in school. They were a year behind me. So we were getting gigs and playing around, and I took a job to kind of make ends meet. And about a year and a half later, I saw an advertisement in the music studios at Wesleyan for someone who was interested in history, played fiddle or banjo or concertina, was not afraid of heights, in pretty good physical condition, and there was a job at Mystic Seaport for a staff musician. So I took the poster down so nobody else would see it. And 2 weeks later, I was working. So since then, I've worked there as a staff musician, which involves demonstrating the use of shanties on board the museum's collection of historic ships, especially the 1841 whale ship, the Charles W. Morgan. So climbing up in the rig, setting sails, using shanties to haul yards, doing anchor raising demonstrations, all kinds of other demonstrations that sailors in the 19th century would coordinate. Component of that job is an annual sea music festival that celebrated its 40th anniversary in 2019. I was first assistant director and then director of that event for many years. And when I stepped down from being director, I took up the role of moderator for the scholarly symposium that has always been a component of the festival, which has enabled me to stay right on the cutting edge of research about sailor music.
Thanks. So were sea shanties like a first love for you, or what kind of music did you listen to when you were growing up?
Well, like most people of my generation, when I first started listening to music, it was, you know, the rock and folk rock music that was on the radio. But my parents were interested in folk music, and my dad had played the fiddle a little bit. It was when I picked up that instrument and guitar and just gradually became more and more interested in various styles of traditional music. And at this point I play, you know, Appalachian blues, bluegrass, Irish music, all kinds of music. But sea shanties weren't really on my radar much until I was in college, which was in Connecticut. But one of the members of the band I was in liked shanties, so we had a few shanties in our repertoire. So I had a general idea of what they were, and I learned since I started that job.
Can I ask which were the shanties that were in the repertoire there?
General Taylor, which is related to Santayana, is the first one I remember that band singing. And yeah, that's the one we sang. I don't think we had a big repertoire of shanties. There may have been a couple others, but that was many, many years ago.
Yeah, no problem.
Many so shanties under the bridge.
Yeah. What has the shanty talk phenomenon been like for you? I am guessing that you started getting either a lot of requests like this one, or you just had texts and phone calls from friends reaching out. Hey, are you seeing this?
Yes, all of that. People started sending me videos of people singing shanties on TikTok. So I joined TikTok, which I knew about, but hadn't joined before. And just was floored by all the really cool videos that people were making and the fun people were having with this music that, you know, I knew from a very, as well as, you know, performing it. But once that initial flurry ended, the next thing that happened was indeed that I started to get called by various people so I don't know how many newspaper interviews I've given and talks for magazines and podcasts and on and on. It's been, I did two programs for Mystic Seaport. It's been pretty busy, but a lot of fun.
Thanks. John, I'm going to come to you next. First, welcome. And I want to thank you again publicly for allowing us to use the Kimbrough's Men version of Bully in the Alley as our theme song. Could you tell us a bit about yourself?
Right. Music-wise, we always had music in the house. My dad was actually a bass baritone, and he used to sing oratorio and opera. And in fact, his singing to Julie Andrews had when she lived in Leeds. Yeah, during the war, because she was evacuated to Leeds because she lived in London. So that side of music's always been, and singing's always been something that I've been aware of. The musical influences were, like everybody else in the 60s and 70s, it was the Beatles, the Stones, Jethro Tull, all sorts of different things. And eventually, when I was about probably 15, actually. I wasn't old enough to go into pubs, really, but I was about 15 and went to a folk club nearby that some friends had talked about. And I just thought, oh, I found my niche now. I found what I want to do. This is great. And so I joined up with another lad who played guitar, and we started singing, and then some with a band then. So by about 1973, I think, I started performing in folk clubs, and that's gone on ever since. The band that I joined originally, we split up. Well, no, I didn't split up. I left in 1977 to pursue my career as a chef. Just over 5 years ago, that band actually reformed, a band called Hebrick, so we're all still alive, which is something, and we're all, having a lot of fun playing together. So I'm in that band. Obviously, I'm in Kimber's Men. And I also sing with my son and my daughter. And my son's got a voice very similar to mine. Okay, fantastic singing voice, really powerful. Obviously, I've not been able to do any of that for the last year, which is quite a blow.
Yeah, I can imagine. I want to come back a little bit to Kimber's Men. How did you start getting into sea shanties, and then how did you join up with them in particular?
Yeah, we used to sing sea shanties when I was at junior school, so I've always been aware of them. And then when I started folk singing, shanties and sea songs all became part of the repertoire. but not the predominant part. But we also did some sea songs and sea shanties. And then 2001, a guy called Joe Stead, he decided that he wanted to do an album of sea shanties, but also explaining the history behind them and what the songs were used for. So he did an album called Valparaiso Around the Horn, which was a trip from Liverpool to Valparaiso. And he needed some people to sing chorus on his album. So I sort of vaguely knew him, and he asked me if I'd join in on his chorus, which I always liked sea shanty. So I said, yeah, I would. And after we'd done the recording, he then had the idea of forming a shanty band in 2001. So myself, Roger Hepworth, and Neil Kimber and Joe started this band. And we decided that we wanted to make an album then. We used to meet every week and put £5 in the kitty till we'd enough to go down to some recording studios to do it. And that we've been doing it ever since. George unfortunately died 3 years ago, I think. And Roger died quite early on, 2005, I think he died. So we've had a few different lineups, but myself and Neil Kimber are still original members.
Yeah, and I think you just released a new one. Is that correct?
Fairly recently, yeah. We've just put everything on Bandcamp as we speak. It's just all just gone on. So anybody wants to have a listen, they can do.
Thanks. So I wanted to ask you about your voice because it is really distinctive. And one of my favorite things to do, and I'm off script here a little bit because I wanted to get like the reaction to this. One of my favorite things to do is recommend that people go to the YouTube video for Bully in the Alley and then to read the comments, which you're not supposed to do on the internet. But the comments, like, I always enjoy because they're all about like the powerfulness of your voice. So some of them are, this guy's father was an amplifier, his mother a foghorn, his uncle a microphone. And then if you scroll down a little bit, years ago, John was standing behind me in a pub sing around. I thought there'd been an earthquake. What did you, at what point in your life did you kind of realize like, oh, I have a gift here? This is like, this is not the normal person who goes down and sings karaoke.
I was in choirs at school. I was involved in music. I think every lunchtime I was in something. We had a madrigal group, we had senior choir, I was in the junior choir before my voice broke, singing soprano, would you believe? And then I graduated down from I don't know if you know Zadok the Priest, that they play at the coronation, soprano bit of that, which goes up to like a top D or something like that. It's quite high. And then I graduated. I went from soprano to alto, and then alto to tenor, and then tenor to bass. And we were doing a piece by Vaughan Williams, and I was in third basses in the school choir, and we had to sing a bottom D, and I was the only person in the whole school who could sing a bottom D. So that was something. And I can remember it being in the choir, and a lad stood in front of me as we were singing, and he said it was like being hit in the chest from behind when I was stood behind him singing. So I suppose that's when I thought I might have something a bit different, you know. But then my dad had a great voice. He was a smashing singer.
Well, thank you again for being here. Can I ask, has the shanty talk thing affected you in any way? Has like people started reaching out to you because of this?
It's, thinking we'll get some opportunity from it, hopefully. And also we put some stuff up on TikTok as well. I think we might have missed the boat a bit, really.
Thanks. So finally, Promise and Frank Uzawolu. If their names aren't familiar, their faces are probably familiar. We were talking about this as we prep for this. Like, my daughter would recognize these two instantly from watching that TikTok video over and over, and just like the unbridled joy on their faces. If you've read anything about the Shanty Talk movement going on over on TikTok, and we'll include some links in the show notes too, so you can find these. But you probably saw their video singing Wellerman embedded in the article. So promise I'm going to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
I was a student at the recording of the video. I was a nursing student at Stephen F. Austin State University. I recently just graduated and will be starting my career in Medical City, Arlington.
Thank you. And then Frank, how about you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So currently I go to Texas A&M University. I'm a computer engineering major, and I also stream on Twitch sometimes on my free time as a hobby. I also have TikTok now, which, you know, is how it all started. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. So the reason that I wanted to bring you on, we just hinted about this, it wasn't just the video, but it's really about your reaction to the music. And if you haven't seen the video, one, go watch it. Two, the way it goes, like, Promise is sitting on the left-hand side of the car. He's kind of looking skeptically at his phone. And Frank is in the right-hand seat, and he's just belting out Wellerman. And we're on this miniature journey with the two of you that ends with you, Promise, singing as loud as you can towards the end. And I thought that made you a very good audience avatar, because while many of our listeners may be vaguely familiar with sea shanties, which is kind of my own experience, we're not necessarily personally invested in them the way that Craig or John are and have been for their entire lives. So I want to hear a little bit about your story. Frank, it looks like you picked up on Wellerman first. How did you discover it?
I believe I was on iFunny when I saw it, and I heard the song, and I was like, oh, this kind of slaps. And so I went into the comments to see if anyone was talking about what the name of the song was, and they said it was Wellerman. So I went on YouTube and I looked it up, and after listening to it on there, I was like, yeah, this song is something that I'll be, you know, blasting in the car. And on my way to HEB, like the first time when I was looking up the song, I started blasting it, and I was pretending like I was a pirate on the seven seas.
Did you then immediately start like looking for additional sea shanties, or you just pretty much stuck with Wellerman?
I did look for more sea shanties, but at the time, the other ones that I looked at didn't really pique my interest. Since the Longest Johns made the Wellerman, I decided to look at some of their music, and I think I looked at some of the newer ones, and it didn't resonate with me as much as some of the older ones, like Santiana, things like that. But eventually, when people started recommending me songs, that's when I started listening to them, and then I was like, oh yeah, this one's a good one, you know.
Thanks. So, Promise, how'd your brother bring this up with you, or did he just throw it on in the car one day and wait for your reaction?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. So this is the whole story about how it happened. So I was in the car. I was going to accompany Frank on a 2-hour drive to his college town because he needed to just pick something up, right? And so we're in the car, and then Frank looks at me and says, hey, Promise, there's a song I actually want you to hear. And it was Wellerman. He played it. And at first I was like, why is he putting this song on? Like, why would you put this song out of all? Why did you want me to hear it? You know, like, I understand if you liked it, but why did you think I would like this? And so then I was going to expose him on my Snapchat. I started recording him, like, who gave him the aux cord to play this music in the car? But later on, like, the chorus, I don't know, but Wellerman's chorus is pretty dead. The Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. Like, it was really great. So over time, like, as the video, you can see, like, I just kept on recording different clips. You can see that I started, like, kind of feeling for the music. Like, at first I started seeing Frank's energy. I was like, oh, his energy is really good. I really like, you know, he may got something for this song. Then I was like, play the song again. I want to see if I can get the chorus. Just the sugar and tea and rum part. You know, I just wanted to get the chorus. So you can see in the third clip, you can see me kind of like my eyes are moving away because I'm actually trying to read the lyrics on a phone. But then at the last clip, I got the chorus memorized. I'm like, even got the little harmonizing at the end. And that's how the video came to be. Now I know like multiple verses. I think I just don't know that last verse. It's a little bit hard for me. Well, other than that, I know the whole song. I think it's pretty cool. When I was moving to Arlington, the whole drive here, I was listening to Wellerman. I was just making sure I sung it. I was like, yeah, this song goes hard. And then since that video has seen so much recognition, recommend other songs such as Got No Beard by The Longest John, which is more like a comedy sea shanty that I find very funny. There's Drunken Sailor, which I listened to Drunken Sailor not that long ago, maybe like a few weeks ago. And I'm like, man, this song is like really good. I went to College Station every now and then when me and Frank both have time, we'll connect, we'll meet up, and then we'll sing some more sea shanties. So we've actually recorded some other ones since that came to be. One thing that not a lot of people know is we recorded that video around 2 to 3 weeks before we even posted it. It was just a Snapchat video for me. And then, you know, I've been studying for my board exams. I don't have enough time to record new TikToks I do nursing school TikTok, you know, for nursing students and stuff like that. And I didn't have much time to create new content for them. So I was like, let me go through my video, see if I could repost any of my other videos. And I saw this video, I was like, I don't post it. I was going to take it down within an hour because it was doing really bad for like 21 hours. I went to the gym. I said, I'm going to take it down once I come back from the gym. Once I went to the gym, came back the next day, like it got up to 1,000 views. Got home, it got to 2,000 views. I called Frank because I didn't let Frank know I was going to post the video. I didn't tell him. I just posted it because I just needed some content. Once it got to 2,000 views, I was like, okay, it's cool. I'm cool with it. But then it went up to like, I think it was approaching like 10,000 views. We both looked rough during that video. You know, we weren't prepared. That wasn't supposed to be post-worthy. So I called Frank. I told him, yeah, Frank, just so you know, the video is doing pretty all right. Like, it's getting some views. I don't know. I don't think it's going to go so far. Frank said, okay, yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. Then I take a shower after the gym. I come out. I'm like, whoa, it's at 22,000 views. I'm like, call Frank again. I said, Frank, you know that video I told you that was almost at 10? It's at 20-something now. Like, you should do it. The whole day, I'm keep on checking the studying. It was like at 100K. Once I was finished studying for my boards that day, it was at like a half a mil. Then I went to my older brother's house, and he was having some friends over to talk and like catch up. And I was there. And then by that time, I believe it was already 2 million by that day. To me, it was so surprising. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this at all.
So Frank mentioned the Longest John's version. Is that your guys' favorite version, or do you have other ones that you listen to? I know that like there's a different version my daughter and I watch on YouTube.
I could go first. I've only really listened to the Longest John's version of Willa Man, but I've also listened to a few people actually remixed the song and sent me their little like clips of remixes of Weller Man, and I've listened to those, but I don't listen to those on the regular. But the Longest John's version is just the only one that I listen to on the regular.
How about you, Frank?
Yeah, it's pretty much I'm in the same vein as him, where I haven't really heard any other Weller Mans, but I've heard remixes and such. But the Longest John's, I guess, would have to be my favorite because it's the only one I've listened to so far.
Got it. You two are, I think you're purists with the Longest John's version. The one that always makes my two-year-old go crazy dancing around is there's like an electronic version that's been remixed. I forget what it's called, but I want to say it's by like a French EDM artist or something. I'm way over my head talking about musical genres. So, we'll keep going here. Craig, I'm going to ask you to lead off. Could you give us a sort of the brief history of the sea shanty, like where they come from, how they develop, what were they used for? You can pretend that you're up in the rigging of a sailing ship, if that helps you get in the mood.
All right, good. So right around 1500, when European maritime powers started to develop understanding navigation to where they could start sailing all over the world, there were traditions of some commands, some call and response. Often you'll see this one piece called The Complaint of Scotland that was published in 1549 that has some leader of a work group says versa and everybody else says versa, and it's all in Scots language. But that, for the next 250 or so years, as the militarization of the merchant marine is a fallout from that empire building, so that even most merchant vessels went armed and carried cannon and had large crews. So there was plenty of muscle around to do the work. And another factor in that is that on naval vessels, the practice was to work silently, especially when you have cannon on board, because you've got to be listening for orders in a battle. So you have to be used to working silently. In 15, with the end of the Napoleonic Wars, one of the effects of that is the merchant ships don't carry cannon anymore, resulting in big slashing in the numbers of men in the crew of a ship. About 70% of the men in a crew would just no longer be on board. So if you'd had 100 men, now you had 30 to run the ship, and you've got two watches. So instead of having 50 men in a watch, you have 15 men in a watch. It means that sailors had to start using some different work techniques in order to get the same kinds of jobs done. They had to be able to concentrate force and apply it precisely with good timing. The music that had been used in naval traditions was instrumental music, but what starts to happen in these smaller crews is that people casting about for better ways to get these jobs done include, especially on American, people from various African backgrounds. And the call and response work songs that are common in many African cultures and in New World descendants of Africans in that period start to be sung on board ships. This is a period when about 20 to 30% of the workforce, for instance, in the American Merchant Marine is African American. And when cotton is the single biggest cargo, when cotton is loaded onto ships, it press it in. And the mechanism for that, called a cotton screw, is worked by a group of five men. And that is something that was well documented at the time, of people using these call and response work songs. You first start to see them mentioned in any kind of documentation, but people writing about it, only in the 1830s or early 1840s. And the word shanty doesn't even appear in print until the 1860s. So it starts out somewhere in this period where sailors are developing these new work techniques that have to be coordinated. It starts to flourish in the 1850s and 60s. It reaches its zenith in the 1870s and 1880s. And then as other technological changes and changes in things like the Suez Canal, for instance, which allows steamships to take the profitable cargoes between Europe and Asia out of the holds of sailing ships, all kinds of things like that lead to the decline of shantying, until by the 1900s, the early 1900s, it's, well, even when it's done on board ship. But the essential part of it is that you had people who were used to using call and response work songs on board. And so you can picture a crew, and it's kind of the reverse of what Frank and Promise were just talking about, where these sailors hear people working cotton screws, and maybe a few of the people in the crew start to do a job and it's hard. So somebody starts singing and the other people sing the chorus. And the next thing you know, everybody's doing it. And by the time you get into the 1850s, it's spread all over the world. So I do think it's really cool that the group of people you assembled here include an American who lives in New England, a guy from Great Britain, and two people from an African background, because that really tells the story of how shanties came together.
Thanks. So we're going to go with some singing now. So Craig, you're actually going to be up first for us, and you're going to sing Round the Corner, Sally. Can you tell us a little bit about the background of the song?
Sure. One of the reasons I wanted to sing Round the Corner, Sally, is that one of the very earliest descriptions of sailors using songs like this on board is Richard Henry Dana's book, 2 Years Before the Mast, that was published in the 1830s. And he doesn't give the music or lyrics of songs, but he mentions this title, which is collected later. So what I'll do is I'll sing a song that comes from one of the Americans singing, which uses a song called Round the Corn, Sally. So I'll sing you one verse of that and then go into the shanty. It's the best example I know of that clear line from African-American work song to shipboard work song. So Round the Corn, Sally, just a verse of it, and then I'll sing a few verses of Round the Corner, Sally.
Yeah, please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay.
Hooray, hooray, ho, round the corn, Sally. Hooray for all the lovely ladies round the corn sally. Hooray, hooray, oh, round the corn sally. Hooray for all the lovely ladies round the corn sally. Love's a thing that's bound to grab you round the corn sally. She'll hold you tight when once she have you round the corn sally. Old and ugly, young and pretty round the corn sally. You need not try when once love gets you round the corn sally. Round the corner we will go, round the corner, Sally, around Cape Horn in the frost and snow, round the corner, Sally, oh, haul away, now make your pay, round the corner, Sally, let's get this yard hauled up today, round the corner, Sally, here comes the cook with a whiskey can, round the corner, Sally, he's bringing a glass for every man, round the corner, Sally, you bring that glass too near my nose, round the corner, Sally, it's up she comes and down she goes, round the corner, Sally, oh, whiskey is the life of man, round the corner, Sally, and it has been since the world began, round the corner, Sally, oh, if we drown when we are young, round the corner, Sally, it's better to be drowned than hung, round the corner, Sally, oh, haul away, and up she goes, round the corner, Sally, way up aloft in the frost and snow, round the corner, Sally, oh, whiskey murdered my old dad, round the corner, Sally, and whiskey drove my mother mad, round the corner, Sally, if the ocean was whiskey and I could swim, round the corner, Sally, it's over the rail, I'd dive right in, round the corner, Sally, so one more pull and that will do, round the corner, high enough,
which is what you'd hear at the end of that job. As the sail got stretched out and the yard is high enough.
Yeah, thank you. Let me ask you though about a little bit about like the nature of some of these songs, because like you could hear as you got into, I don't know which verse it was, but like it gets into some dark material, right? Like whiskey ruined my dad, whiskey ruined my mom, et cetera, et cetera. And then somebody else I had seen posted on Twitter as all this was occurring is like, hey, there's basically four types of sea shanty. You know, one is like, okay, well, you're pregnant, but now I'm sailing away forever. Good luck with all that. Or I'm going to die and I resign myself to this fact. Was this just kind of like the dark humor of sailors, or is it seems to be a common feature of sea shanties?
One of the functions of sea shanties was to allow sailors to blow off steam while they were working. Normally they would, you know, they would, and the whiskey verses have a, you find similar things in just shoreside drinking songs. So it's one of the ways that songs feed in into the shanty tradition. Shanties don't have necessarily a fixed set of verses, right? So you notice there wasn't really a storyline in what I sang, but once I got on the whiskey theme, I kept on thinking of whiskey verses. But you'll also find sailors complaining about officers, generally without name, from an officer from another ship. But you could actually get pretty specific in your complaints about officers while you were singing a shanty at a job. And everybody would pretend that you were singing about some other ship, but it let the crew release some of their frustration with the way that the ship was being run without getting into a confrontation. But they also just use it to express all kinds of things that were on their minds. So that would certainly include women, the fact that they weren't getting any drink while they were at sea. They did start drinking on shore, warning younger sailors about the pitfalls of going on shore and what they'd encounter there and how it could lead them right back onto another ship with no money in their pocket. So all those kinds of things pop up pretty frequently in shanties.
Thanks. As a naval officer, I'm kind of glad now that we don't have sea shanties, because I can only imagine what some of my crew members would have said or incorporated into a song. Well, then, John, we're going to go to you next, and we'll start with the obvious one, which is Bully in the Alley. So can you tell us a little bit about the background of this song and where it comes from, what it signifies?
Well, it's known as a halyard shanty, and it's on a ship, the sticks that go across the mast. They have the sails on. Some of them are fixed and some of them move. And the reason that they move is because the higher up they are, the higher the center of gravity is of the ship. And so you only use those sails when the ship's in lighter winds. So they have to haul the yard up the mast, and then the sail drops down below it. So we've actually sailed on a ship called the Stavros Niarchos two or three times doing shanty trips, and we've actually got the crew working. There's only really halyards that warrant a shanty, because things like capstans are all electronic now or diesel powered or whatever, and the pumping's done automatically rather than having to go up and down on a seesaw. So we use that really successfully, and people couldn't believe how efficiently the yards went up. You know, no sooner had they started than they finished. You know, and it made the job more enjoyable. And I think that's one of the reasons for doing shanties, is to keep people happier. So yeah, Bully in the Alley, it tells a story of a bloke finding a prostitute in a pub and taking her to bed and then disappearing. Bad happens to him in quite a lot of the shanties and sea songs. The sailor comes off worse by the end of the song, but in this one he just does what he wants to do and then goes away, you know. So that's anyway. Do you want me to sing the song?
Go ahead.
So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alleyway. Hey, Bully in the alley, help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. I found myself out on the spree, oh, hey, hey, Bully in the alley. I found myself with time so free, oh, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. I waltzed up to the Angel Inn, oh, hey, hey, Bully in the alley. I kicked on the door and walked right in, oh, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. I walked up to the barroom counter, way, hey, Bully in the alley, and there I met with Greasy Annie, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. I bought a gin and I bought a rum, oh, way, hey, Bully in the alley. I bought a wine, both white and red, oh, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. When I'd spent of all me tin, oh, way, hey, Bully in the alley, up to bed we both did creep, oh, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. We're up and tumbled all night long, oh, way, hey, Bully in the alley, dawn did break, the cock did crow, oh, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. I left my girl to go a-sailing, way, hey, Bully in the alley. I left my Sal to go a-wailing, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley. So help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, way, hey, Bully in the alley. Help me, Bob, I'm Bully in the alley, Bully down in Shinbone Alley.
Ah, thank you. That was Like, I can tell it was good because I was having to restrain myself from singing along. I was humming the whole time, getting the little Zoom notification. It was like, your microphone's muted. I was like, yes, it's muted for a reason. So otherwise I would ruin this. That was tremendous. I will add too that that is one of my two-year-old's favorites. Like, we used to use that when we would dance around, attempting to put her to sleep. Didn't always work with Bully in the Alley though. Okay, Frank, so we're going to pause right here because we had discussed you guys singing it here. We're not going to have you sing this, but you had selected one song that I was not familiar with. I'd like you to at least talk a little bit about the background of this song. The song's name is Santiana. You'll find a link to it in our show notes, to at least the YouTube video, and I think it's by The Longest Johns. But you can follow that link, listen to the song. Frank, what was it about Santiana that you liked so much? And, well, first of all, how did you find Santiana specifically? And then what was it about this song that you really liked and led you to suggest it?
So after the initial Wellerman video, I actually went live on TikTok and was just talking to some of the people that were fans. And some of them were, you know, suggesting things to listen to. They were suggesting games for me to play that had shanties, one of them being Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And I started actually playing that, and I streamed it for them. It was actually really fun. But back to Santiana, the way I found out about it is one of the people recommended, you know, me to listen to it. And so I listened to it on stream or on the TikTok live. And the thing, the reason I like it so much is that it's more of a song that you sing from the heart in like a respect type of way, because they're singing about, you know, a general. And, you know, at the end of it, it's like general, or not general, Taylor, Santiana is kind of dead. And so you have to like pay respects type of thing. And so the way that I sing it, number one, it's an easy song to sing since it's a slower one. You can't really mess it up that much. But also the way they sing it in the heart that they have behind it is something that I really enjoy.
Thanks. And again, that will be dropped down in the links in the show notes. So you brought up playing Assassin's Creed and the game. And I found that as well as I started diving into this myself. It's like, one, it appears in Assassin's Creed, but two, there's some massive multiplayer role-playing game that you can play online with sea shanties in it. And then there's a video of The Longest Johns like diving in there as a character and just popping up in different scenes and singing sea shanties. And then the other players right was like, who the hell are these guys? This is incredible. Have you watched that video? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I haven't watched the video, but I assume the game you're talking about is Sea of Thieves.
I believe that's correct. I mean, I don't, I have a 2-year-old and I got another one on the way. So like, I do not have a lot of time. Like, this is my hobby that I use my limited free time for. So I don't get to play a lot. I think Sea of Thieves is correct though. Yeah.
Yeah, that was something a lot of people recommended me play, but I keep telling them, like, I'm probably going to wait for it to go on sale or something, because it's a $40 game, and on top of that, I don't know if my PC will be able to run it, because I'm on a laptop, so I wouldn't be able to run it and stream at the same time, so I'm waiting until I get more funds or something, but it's definitely something I want to try, because even, I believe, like 2 days ago, people were telling me about it and saying, yeah, you should play Sea of Thieves. It's really fun, and, you know, you can sing sea shanties. So it's something that I definitely want to look into.
Awesome. John, the next one that you're going to do for us, though, is Shenandoah. So can you tell us a little bit about why did you choose that song, and what is the background of that song?
Right. Well, There's quite a few versions of this. This is one that our friend Justed discovered or used from the 70s, and it's just got some nice verses in it, which you don't often hear that version. It's actually a capstan shanty, and it would have been sung when you start off with a quick shanty when you're pulling the boat towards where the anchor is embedded in the seabed. So you start off with something like paddy lay back, taking the slack, and you'd be going around the capstan quite quickly. And then it gets a bit harder as you get, and then you do a slow shanty. And then when you're right over the top of the anchor and pulling the anchor out of the seabed, you'd do something like Shenandoah, which is quite a slow paced song. So that's it. So this is Shenandoah.
Shenandoah, I'm bound to leave ya away, your rolling river. But in my dreams, I'm bound to hear ya away. I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. Oh, Shenandoah, I took a notion away, your rolling river, to sail across that stormy ocean. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. For 7 long years I courted Nancy, away, your rolling river. For 7 long years she took me fancy. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. And then she went to Kansas City, away, rolling river, so far away to Kansas City. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. And there she had a shush shush baby, away, you rolling river. Oh, there she had that shush shush baby. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. I heard she's lodging with a soldier. Away, you're rolling river. I guess she's got another lover. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri. Farewell, me dear, I'm bound to leave ya. Deceive ya. Away, I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri.
Thank you, John. We're going to have you, Craig, do Ways Storm Along, John, next. So what is kind of the backstory of Ways Storm Along, John?
Storm Along John was sort of the Paul Bunyan figure of sailor lore. He was the ultimate sailor, and sailors spun yarns about him. They'd often start out the stories about him for greenhands who hadn't heard about him as though they were talking about a real person, and only gradually build in unbelievable elements until there'd be some big hook, line, and sinker that you'd bite, and then you'd realize when everybody starts laughing at you that you've been taken in. But the songs about him are all about his death and about missing him. And there are a number of them that take different forms, but this one has always been my favorite, Way Storm Along John.
Stormy's gone, that good old man. Where's Storm Long John? Old Stormy's gone, that good old man. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. He slipped his cable off Cape Horn. Where's Storm Long John? Close by the place where he was born. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. Old Stormy heard the angels call. Way, Storm Long John. Sing his dirge now, one and all. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. A good old bosun to his crew. Way, Storm Long John. An able seaman, bold and true. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. Oh, Storm, he's gone, what shall we do? Way, Storm Long John. Old Storm is gone, now we'll go to. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. I wish I was Old Stormy's son. Way, Storm Long John. I'd build a ship of 1,000 ton. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. I'd fill it full of Barbados rum. Way, Storm Long John. And all you shellbacks would get some. Way, Mr. Storm Long John. Oh, a bottle full for every man. Way, Storm Long John. And a great big barrel for the shanty man. Way, Mr. Storm Long John.
That's a version of that shanty you would have heard sung at the pumps or the brake windlass, rocker arms like the old railroad hand cars.
We're coming back to you now, John, with Sunny Door. So what is Sunny Door about?
It's about a young lady who works in Trinidad, and she's very popular with the sailors, apparently. But it also mentions a stevedore, and in one of the verses also talks about burdened in the archway. It took his age, actually, a means of, by ropes and pulleys, a means of transferring something horizontally, as opposed to where you normally use ropes and pulleys to pull things up and down. And I got this song from a guy called Roy Palmer, who was a folk historian, and he's edited loads of books. And we did a concert with him, and he sent us this and asked us to learn it. So, and really liked it.
All right, then let's hear Sunny Door. Quite nicely,
this one. Yeah, Sunny Door. Yeah.
Oh, tell me, Mr. Stevedore, and how do you stow your cargo away? Sing Sunny Door. Oh, tell me, Mr. Stevedore, and how do you stow your cargo? Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Door. So booch free, me boldy boys, and burdened in the archway. Way, sing Sunny Door. So booch free, me boldy boys, and burdened in the archway. Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Door. Oh, Trinidad, you pretty little harbor. Way, sing Sunny Door. Oh, Trinidad, you pretty little harbor. Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Door. And if you see old Sunny Door, if ever you should find her, way, sing Sunny Door. Roll her in the grass, me lad, and down among the clover. Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Door. And tell me, Mr. Barber, and how do you shave your customers? Way, sing Sunny Door. I take some by the noses and scrape them neat the chinny, oh. Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Door. The mate's all right, the crew is tight, the old man, he's in clover. Way, sing Sunny Door. The mate's all right, the crew is tight, the old man, he's in clover. bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Dawe. We'll stretch a love kiss high enough, the end is now in sight, boy. Way, sing Sunny Dawe. We'll stretch a love kiss high enough, the end is now in sight, boys. Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Dawe. And tell me, Mr. Stevedore, and how do you stow your cargo? Way, sing Sunny Dawe. And tell me, Mr. Stevedore, and how do you stow your cargo? Bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Dawe. So Booch, Creamy, Bully, Bison, Burton, in the archway, way, sing Sunny Dawe. So Booch, Creamy, Bully, Bison, Burton, in the archway, bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny, bound down Trinidad to look for Sunny Dawe.
Thanks, Sean. That was great. So then, Craig, the last song that you're going to do for us is entitled Riley. What is Riley about?
Riley is actually a song that comes from the cargo loading along the coast of the Carolinas. The singer who was recorded doing this with a group of fellow workers was named, I believe, John Williams. And he was recorded by Alan Lomax, the great folklorist. So this was a song that they used stowing timber on board ships, but it has exactly the same form as halyard shanties. And there are a variety of versions of songs using that name Riley. It was pretty common. So a good example of that combination of African-American and Irish traditions that really flourished in the world of shanties.
Riley, Riley, where are you? Oh, Riley, oh, man. Riley, Riley, where are you? Bye-bye, my Riley, oh, man. Oh, Riley's gone to Liverpool. Oh, Riley, oh, man. Oh, Liverpool, that packet school. Bye-bye, my Riley, oh. Oh, Riley's gone to Baltimore. Oh, Riley, oh, man, to dance upon that sandy floor. Bye-bye, my Riley, oh, man. Oh, Riley's gone around Cape Horn. Oh, Riley, oh, man, where you'll wish to God you'd never been born. Bye-bye, my Riley, oh, man, now around Cape Horn we all must go. Oh, Riley, oh, man, around Cape Stiff through the frost and snow. Bye-bye, my Riley, oh, man. Oh, dig his grave with a silver spade. Oh, Riley, oh, man. And lower him down with a golden chain. Bye-bye, my Riley, oh, man. The Democrat Riley, oh, Riley. Oh, man.
Thanks, Craig. So, John, we're going to give you the last word here, and you've chosen Go to Sea No More. So what can you tell us about that one?
This is really what's called a four-bitter. In other words, a song that was sung at leisure, not particularly for work, although there is thoughts that it might have been used as a capstan shanty or even a pumping shanty. But four-bitters were sung on at the front of the ship on the four bits that had the rope wound round them, and the sailors used to sit on these at leisure time and sing songs to each other for entertainment rather than for work.
When first I landed in Liverpool, I went upon the spree. My money at last I spent it fast, I got drunk as drunk could be. And when my money was all gone, 'twas then that I wanted more. A man must be blind to make up his mind to go to sea once more. Once more, once more, go to sea once more. A man must be blind to make up his mind to go to sea once more. Last night I lay with Angeline, too drunk to roll in bed. Me boots was new and me money too. In the morning with them she fled. And as I roam the streets all round, the whores all at me roared. There goes Jack Ratcliffe for sailor lad. He must go to sea once more. Once more, once more, go to sea once more. There goes Jack Ratcliffe for sailor lad, he must go to sea once more. As I was a-rolling down the street, I met old Rapper Brown. Says I to him, would you take me in? And he looked at me with a frown. He says, last time you was paid off, with me you chalk no score, but I'll take it advance and I'll give yous a chance, and I'll send you to sea once more. Once more, once more, go to sea once more. Well, I'll take it advance and I'll give yous a chance, and I'll send you to sea once more. Well, he put me on board of a whaling ship bound out for them Arctic seas, where the cold wind blows and there's ice and snow, and Jamaica rum do freeze. Well, I can't stay here, for I have no gear, and I spent all me money on shore. And 'twas then that I said that I wished I was dead, would go to sea no more. No more, no more, go to sea no more. 'Twas then that I said that I wished I was dead, and would go to sea no more. Some days we caught a sperm whale, boys, and some days we did get none. With a 20-foot oar all in your paw, you'd row the whole day long. And when the night it came around, you'd nod upon your oar. Oh, a man must be blind to make up his mind to go to sea once more. Once more, once more, go to sea once more. Oh, a man must be blind to make up his mind to go to sea once more. Come all ye bold seafaring men and listen to my song. When you come home from them damned long trips, well, I'll tell ye what goes wrong. Take my advice, don't drink strong drink, nor go sleeping with no whores. But get married, lads, and spend all night in, and go to sea no more. No more, no more, go to sea no more. But get married, lads, and spend all night in, and go to sea no more.
Thanks so much, Sean. So, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. I'd like to thank my guests, Promise and Frank Uzuwulu, John Bromley, and Craig Edwards. Promise, I'm going to start with you. Where can we find you online, and what's next for you?
Well, you can find me on all social medias at strong_promises. There you can see, follow my nursing journey, and I do a lot of other content related to like nursing students, health, or soon my new nursing career.
Thanks. And also congratulations from us on your new job. I know that you're pretty excited about that. Frank, how about you? Where can we find you and what are you working on?
So you can find me at FrankXLion on Instagram and Twitch. You can also add me on Snapchat at ZEXERX. And I believe my TikTok is also FrankXLion. That's Frank X and then Lion.
When you say lion, I assume you're talking like the animal, right? Frank X L I O N.
Yes. Frank X L I O N.
Got it. Thanks. And I think this is kind of like we have a cross generational piece here too, as far as ages. So you've named some platforms that I've heard of but never used myself. It's going to be interesting to see like what our audience, what new technology our audience is getting introduced to as part of this conversation. John, where can we find you and what's next for you and for Kimber's Men?
You can find us on got a website, kimbersmen.com. We've got a Twitter account, at Kimber's Men, Facebook, Kimber's Men, YouTube, and we're on TikTok as well. I think that's under Kimber's Men, or it might be under Shanties, but I'm not sure. I'm old.
Yeah, I assume folks will be able to find Kimber's Men there, and I've seen them cross-posting, I think it's Neil doing it, cross-posting TikTok onto Twitter. So if you need assistance getting there, that's one way to do it. Craig, what are you working on now, and where can we find you online?
Right now, I'm working on recording a couple of different recording projects and anticipating getting back to live performance at some point. You can find me at my website, fiddlecraig.com. That's fiddle like the instrument, fiddlecraig.com. I've got a music page on Facebook under just Craig Edwards.
Got it. Thank you so much. Well, thank you all again for coming on today. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.